and welcome to a Behind the Headlines special. This one is a little bit different. We're going to head back in time. We're travelling back 40 years to the day, and we're going to take a listen to our coverage back then of the Brighton bomb. It's an explosion which nearly killed the then Prime Minister. On this day, back in 1984, the Tory party conference was underway in Brighton, with Margaret Thatcher 5 years into her prime ministerial career. But unknown to any of the MPs staying at the Grand Hotel, the IRA had planted a bomb. It exploded just before 3 a.m. on the 12th of October 1984, killing 5 people, including Conservative MP Sir Anthony Berry. We've got a recording of the news special we ran at the time on Piccadilly Radio. That was the name of our station in Manchester back then. This is what the news sounded like 40 years ago on the day of the bomb, with reporter Jim Hancock at the scene in Brighton.
The Brighton bomb horror, the IRA claim responsibility. There are calls for a major inquiry into the security operation. 2 people are dead and 27 injured, and there are fears that some people may still be trapped in the debris. Good afternoon, I'm Geoffrey Goff. The IRA say they planted the bomb in the Grand Hotel in Brighton, killing 2 people and injuring 27 others. In a statement just issued, they say 100 pounds of gelignite was used, and Mrs. Thatcher will now realise that Britain cannot occupy Northern Ireland and shoot people on the streets and get away with it. The statement ended, "Today we were unlucky, but remember, we only have to be lucky once." Meanwhile, a major inquiry is to be launched into security measures at the conference following this morning's outrage. Reporting live from Brighton, Jim Hancock.
Stunned delegates are asking how it was possible for a bomber or bombers to slip through the security of the Grand Hotel and plant the device. Bury North MP Alistair Burt says there should be a high-level investigation because he was in the hotel hours before the blast and got in without a security check.
There must obviously be an investigation. I was in the Grand Hotel last night until about 2 o'clock in the morning. Certainly when I went into the Grand, I was not required to show my pass. I was dressed in a suit and as obviously were most gentlemen at the time. It would appear that at that time of night, security had relaxed to a certain extent. As I said to you earlier, Jim, I cannot recall whether I was asked for my pass in the small cordon-off security area, but to my recollection, I was not. There has been very good security throughout the rest of the week. The police have been absolutely marvellous. This must have stunned them as much as it stunned anyone. It was so unexpected. I cannot imagine how anyone was able to take such a quantity of explosive in, but I think Willie Whitelaw said it this morning, there is no place in the world that is totally security-proof. And I would obviously welcome a call into some security investigation. There must be. But the main thing is to try and find out who is responsible, deal with them through the process of law, make them realise that democracy cannot be subverted by what they've done.
Do you
and
think
not
there'll
to
ever
give
be a
what they want.
Conservative conference again where cabinet ministers mingle freely in a hotel lobby with representatives?
Yes. There will be. That is the way we do things. That is the way we will continue to do things. And nothing will disturb that.
The Chief Constable of Sussex, who was responsible for security at the Grand, says he was more than satisfied with arrangements. Roger Birch says he expected demonstrations, not bombers, but all security precautions had been taken, bearing in mind the need for free public access.
Our security arrangements leading up to the conference and during the conference were even more stringent than usual. But they've got to be set against the background of a public hotel or several public hotels continuing to function. And there are limits to which you can go in checking on those who go in and out.
Deputy Prime Minister Lord Whitelaw also says he was completely satisfied with the precautions taken at Brighton and says there's no such thing as perfect security.
I've never seen more security with passes and everything else at any Conservative conference that I've been attending for many years.
So
it was really good security. Oh, how can anybody say that they're happy about security when something like this has happened? But I was making the point that it is as good as I have seen it. And much stricter. But of course there is no such thing as complete security in this world. There never has been. Because if you've got a hotel with all the number of people, think of that, going in and out of that hotel, parties and all the rest.
Trade and Industry Secretary Norman Tebbit was pulled from the rubble after a four-hour ordeal, and Chief Whip John Wakeham had a seven-hour ordeal before being freed. The chairman of the Northwest area of the Conservative Party, Eric Taylor, and his wife Jennifer were also trapped by the rubble, and I understand they are still detained in the Royal Sussex Hospital. Former Manchester councillor Donald Moore, who lost a leg in the Second World War, was evacuated, believed safe, from the Grand Hotel in the middle of the night. The two dead have not yet been named, and the original figure of 20 injured is rising rapidly. It is now 27 and could still rise further. Mrs. Thatcher was working in her suite when the bomb went off. She and other ministers were then rushed in a high-speed convoy to the safety of Brighton Police Station, where she and the Home Secretary, Leon Britton, spoke to reporters.
Our worry is whether there's anyone under that rubble, because I don't know whether you've seen it, but it's pretty awful.
Have you seen your other cabinet colleagues?
Yes, indeed. Geoffrey Howe is here with us, and Leon is here with us, the Home Secretary. We were all very, very fortunate. Very fortunate indeed.
Were you asleep at the time, Prime Minister?
I'm not quite sure the chance of the exchange. No, I was up working. The bomb went off somewhere between 2:45 and 3:00. I know that because I looked up when I'd finished something at 2:45, and I just turned to do one final paper, and then it went off. My husband was in bed, and all the windows went, and the bathroom was extremely badly damaged.
In your own room?
Yes. We were very lucky. You hear about these atrocities. These bombs, you don't expect them to happen to you. But life must go on as usual.
And your conference will go on.
Thank you.
Oh, there's no question about that. The conference is going to go on. Our determination is unshaken. It's not a question of individuals. It's a question of the nation not going to be held to ransom or brought to a stop by acts of violence of this kind. And the fact that it happens to have come so close to those of us at the centre of government is certainly not going to do anything other than reinforce our resolve to be quite resolute in the face of this sort of thing.
Among the conference representatives who climbed from the rubble of the Grand Hotel was Jerry Carey, a representative from Blakely in Manchester. He says it was like hell let loose.
Well, we'd been to a meeting with Harvey Proctor MP, and quite a number of us had gone back to the Grand for a private party. We were sort of stood around minding our own business, having a drink, and all of a sudden, bang, and all bloody hell let loose. We were petrified, there's no other way of putting it.
What happened?
Somewhere upstairs, I don't know where, but there was a bang, and all of a sudden all the rubble is flying all over the place. I think some of the roofs came through, but I'm not sure, because at that time, everybody just got the hell out of the place, you know.
Was there any panic?
A mild degree. Remarkably, it was reasonably well orderly. Well ordered. The majority of people were concerned about anybody else trapped inside. And it's about time we started doing something about it. Let's get these kid gloves off and try teaching them some lessons. Treat them the way they deserve. And there's only one way to stop it, and that's to bring back the rope.
Another eyewitness was Brighton taxi driver Terry Bennett. He was outside the hotel when the blast happened.
I just picked up there and I'd gone round outside the Metropole, and then I saw from the second floor the dust and the dirt shoot right out, you know, explode over the road, and, you know, over onto the rank where I was, and right over King's Road, right onto the promenade. And then I heard the explosion.
Mrs. Thatcher's departure was witnessed by local restaurateur Ian Mitchell, who'd just locked up.
Prime Minister's car and three police escorts went in that direction to the centre of Brighton about 10 minutes ago. Very, very fast.
Did you see inside the car?
It would appear there was a female in there, and it looked like Mr. Thatcher was on the side, and she was surrounded by other people in the car as well.
Did you see anything of the explosion?
Yeah, we were outside, they were closing the restaurant, and there was just a massive bang and a puff of white smoke went up into the air, and that was about it.
A number of surrounding hotels were evacuated, and Mavis Tommen from Stockport set up an emergency rest centre in the Beach Hotel. Cabinet ministers and TV personalities were all grateful for Mrs. Tommen's tea.
They all came in droves, one after the other, all members of Parliament, cabinet ministers, Keith Joseph, Patrick Jenkins, Robin Day, all in the
blankets. You serve Robin Day and Sir Keith Joseph
yes,
with tea?
Yes.
Good, yes. Good northern brew.
It was smashing, some weak, some strong, and some with sugar, you know. And all the ladies, not me on my own, you know. We got all the ladies that had been wakened.
Were most of these people helping from the Stockport area?
Oh, no, only Chris and I from Stockport. All ours had already gone to nurse, you see.
And so these were people who had been evacuated from various hotels?
Oh, no, the ladies that were helping were staying in our hotels, and they were delegates as well.
But the people who were coming were from
all
hotels?
All the people that were coming from the Metropole, is it? And the Grand, of course. Some were in shock because of what had happened, and some had been moved out of their bedrooms for the police to go in and check it.
Some people really were in a bad way, though.
Well, some of them were worse than others. Some were just very, very cold because they'd had to walk on the front and found themselves probably... I don't know how much time had passed. It's probably been an hour. And they'd been stood on the pavements, and with half of them had just jammers on, and some had no shoes on.
Is this the first conference you've been to?
Yes.
Didn't expect it to end up like this, did you?
No, but I shall come back.
You won't be defeated?
No.
And Mrs. Tommen then broke down under the strain of a very difficult night. And that resolution by Mrs. Tommen does sum up the grim atmosphere here in Brighton this lunchtime. The latest news is that all the guests at the Grand have still not been accounted for, and the rescue services fear more people may still be trapped in the debris. They need to know that because it affects the way in which they will actually clear the debris. If there are bodies or people still injured underneath, they'll have to take far more care than otherwise they would have to. Against this background, the Prime Minister makes her keynote speech to the conference this afternoon, where she will surely reaffirm her party's commitment not to be beaten by the bombers. Jim Hancock, Piccadilly News at the Conservative Party conference in Brighton.